to Ruth. As I already mentioned, it's just been so glorious to see the revelation of the truth. And only the Holy Ghost can do this. We know that. And praise God, it's always been there. That word, beginning, wonderful. But thanking the Lord for this time, this age, the Holy Ghost, the infilling, the leading, the comforter, the one who sheds that love abroad in our hearts, the plan, the purpose, the power, the provision of God, that here we are, and he that wills to know will know this. And I'm beyond thankful once again that God has led my life to see into more light of this same wonderful truth that's always been the same, never changed, praise God. These wonderful mysteries that had been hidden, but yet for me, they've been made known. And I thank the Lord. Praise God. So more glory tonight. And brothers and sisters, that's always the case when we take more and more of His grace. The only way glory comes is from grace. And I thank God. And because it is His glorious grace. And as we've studied these precious Gentile brides, we're on a journey. And we're on a journey in the Word. And what the Word does is it works effectually in them that believe. Isn't that wonderful? Like dynamite power. As we begin to allow the Lord, trust Him, believe in His love for us, and the love is the Word of God, it's amazing how the Word of God will search us, grow us up, exercise in us, train us. And as we're reading about these testimonies, brothers and sisters, it will make it real in us. It will make the Word of God real in our lives. And I thank the Lord for that. Do you not see, as we study these precious Gentile brides, that the Lord has done this with you? That this wasn't just a new way. This wasn't just some special occurrence that happened with Ruth. This is how He deals with us. It's exactly the same. His wooing. He doesn't discriminate in His love. You know, He's not a respecter of person. He wants us to have this. And this precious, gentle wooing is there for each and every one of God's precious people. We're vessels of His mercy, aren't we? I thank God for that. And in that, we're living the Word of God because of the mercy of the Lord. I don't deserve to live that wonderful testimony of the Word of God. It's just His mercy. My goodness, if I really told you about me, you'd say, oh my goodness, that's mercy. But you know it because I'm but a man and you're but a man. And thank God that it's the new man that lives in us. And that's, praise the Lord, the living Word, the testimony that as we read and receive the depth of the gospel, Paul's gospel, we receive the message and we receive a testimony in our lives just like these Gentile brides. These same things. And it's overwhelmed my heart, the love of the Savior to us, the detail of the power of that love that's there for us to receive. And once again, it's Paul's gospel that opens this up for us fully and freely to partake in the depth of the mystery of Christ Jesus and His bride. And I thank God, it unlocks all of the Old Testament in its fullness of glory. I always loved the Old Testament stories, but I never saw what was in these stories. And then I didn't realize that they just weren't stories, praise God. This is what's happening with me and my Lord. Isn't it wonderful? This is this Word that is alive. So getting back to chapter 2, we left off. Let's go ahead and read verses 8 and 9. And in verses 8 and 9, it says of chapter 2, then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any other field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So where we left off there was Boaz is completely smitten by Ruth. Once again, he was a man of wealth, of power. And he comes to his field, and the reason he comes to his field is because there was one out there that was seeking grace. The Lord will always meet that life that seeks grace. He's drawn to that grace, praise God, because he is grace. And that's what is so beautiful, the humility. She went out there to find grace. She went out there to make her fruit? No, to glean his fruit. It was all him. That's what was so special. There were many daughters, if you will, in that field. But thou excellest them all. She was the one that caught his eye immediately. And he went after her like that. It didn't take time, let me observe. He knew that heart. He sought it out immediately. Isn't that how he deals with us, praise be to God? You see that. And that's how he's drawn us into this. He knows your heart. And we thank God for that. And he knows what he wants to develop in that. So, how beautiful this is. He's completely smitten by her. And she heard through Naomi. And remember, Naomi, we're seeing, is a Holy Ghost type. She heard of this Redeemer, this man named Boaz. And she goes to find his field, to find grace, to glean his fruit. She doesn't even realize, though, at that time that she's even there. Remember that. She had an appointment, didn't she? And the Lord, in knowing the sincerity of that heart that was after grace, it says there, she happed on his field. Remember that? And always remember that word, happed. It means an appointment with fortune. See, when you go after grace, you will always have one thing, an appointment with fortune. Isn't it beautiful? See, she happed on his field. See, when you go after grace, you're going to have that fortune. You're going to have that windfall of the word of God. When you go after in your strength, when you go after in your might, when you go after to magnify you, you're not going to happen on a bunch of fortune. You're going to have a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble that you can throw around and act like you're something. But at the end of it all, you have nothing. I want to have that wonderful gold, silver, and precious stone. Amen. And boy, I'll tell you, there's not a lot of that out in that field, see? See, there's a lot out there, but there was something special. There was something different. We'll get to that tonight about this precious heart that was out there. But she had an appointment with fortune. And praise be to God, the exceeding riches of his grace, even someday for us, if we'll stay in that field and abide in that field of grace. Amen. Praise God. And I love that. All right. Now, in verse 9, we see here too, he confirms to her a second time. He gives her sufficient witness two times right there in a row. Don't you go into any other field. See, he's already laying it out here. I'm a jealous lover. I want you. I don't want you anywhere else. You're mine. I want you in this gospel. Do you see now why Paul said, preach no other gospel? That's the field. He was the one that came out and said, this is the field. It's just, again, it's the revelation of what this meaning was back here in Ruth. There's no other field I want you in. See, Paul had that love of God, that jealous love, that godly jealous love. He loves me with that godly jealousy. I love it. That's how he is. You're mine. And I love a God like that. I've tried to get away from that God at times, but there's no getting away. That love, you're a prisoner. So the Apostle Paul, I'm a prisoner of his love. Amen. Know this. And just thank the Lord, because you know we would have ran out on him a long time ago. But God. All right. So we love this. He says, stay with my maidens. We heard that, remember? And remember, those maidens were the virgins that were eligible for marriage. So once again, he wants her for that wife. She doesn't even get this at this time. She doesn't get it till later. It's just going to be just like another Esther story. Oh, I know he loves me. I know he thinks I'm beautiful. But I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to ask him. She doesn't even realize what she just hit. That's why, son, I'm telling you, you don't realize what you've hit. Praise God. It's exciting, is it not? Amen. I love it. Now, here comes the cut. When this abundance of love and this abundance of grace is shown unto us. What will our response be? When he enlightens the eyes of our understanding to see such incredible grace, mercy, and love, to see the depth of his heart, I want you to have everything with me. I want you to rule and to reign jointly together with me. I want you to be glorified together with me. What is that response going to be? Unfortunately, some get puffed up. There was a woman in the Word of God that we saw that with. Her name was Vashti. She gives us an example of that. She was the one that was preferred. She was the one that was chosen. But there she was, and it went to her head. Oh, you want me to come out? You want me to be enjoyed? And notice who we want him to be enjoyed by. The people of God. See, I remember that many, many times Brother Hill would emphasize, God help us not to be a selfish Christian. And he would say it very bluntly, I don't know how a selfish Christian can be a full overcomer. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, let the Lord use your life. And I mean that. And it's not to, well, I wonder what great things God has for me. It's love. He says that we would gather the much the more as we see that day approaching. Do you not realize how beneficial you are to the body of Christ? Yes. Amen. It's important. It's important to this precious body. And thank the Lord for it. You realize to learn to, that's a love, and that's loving and preferring another before yourself a lot of times. Because I know sometimes we don't feel good, sometimes we don't feel right. But if we always wanted to feel good and feel right before we came to church, this would be a pretty empty place. And I'm sad to say, probably half the people that don't show up in every service lean to that feeling as opposed to abiding by faith. And how does faith work? By love. So it's going to come back there, praise God. Now, thinking when we're really something instead of seeing that the beauty of us is because we're vessels of mercy. That's the beauty to God, his vessels of mercy. He bestows them with exceeding glory, doesn't he? He clothes them with glory, those vessels of mercy. See, when we see that, we are completely unworthy in a sense. Unworthy like a Ruth. Unworthy like a Rahab. Unworthy like every single one of these Gentile brides that have been brought out. They should have been overlooked. They weren't even part of, if you will, the family. And you know how people are about if you're not part of the family. Well, you can sit on the outside. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're family? I love these Gentile brides because they'd say, hey, look, not only do I know that I'm family, praise God, I know that I'm the one. Huh? I'm the choice one, praise God. See, that's what this is. And that's all about the grace of God. See, that's what it is. And those that will go on and those that will win him realize how immense the mercy is and that our life is solely him. And anything that I am in Christ, it's completely because of his workmanship. And once again, we are the vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. This is it. This is what the magnificence of the beauty of our Lord is. So, here is the response as we get into tonight. What an introduction that the God gives us. Amen? But it's true. How can we just marvel on this love? But here it is. Here's the vessels of mercy, and here's how they respond. After she heard this double portion witness, I don't want you going anywhere else, honey. You're mine. She fell on her face, verse 10. And she bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Oh, my goodness. You talk about having him, as you heard that expression, at hello. Oh, my goodness. That humble, contrite, full humility vessel, he's just smitten and smitten and smitten. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you thankful that our Lord is still surprised? That's what's so beautiful. We're going to get to a point where Boaz, at night, jumping ahead, she comes in there. It startles him. He's surprised. I love our Lord. Who touched me? I love our Lord. Such great faith I have not seen in all of Jerusalem. Aren't you thankful the grace of God in you, when it's alive, surprises our Lord? Every hair. Praise God. I was thinking, and I was rejoicing with the sister. It's just like, you know, here parents going to have a baby, and it's so wonderful, and you know a baby's coming and all of this. But when that baby comes, you knew it was coming and all of that, but oh, what a surprise. That's our God. That's the Godhead. That's how very man, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And I love that. I love the romantic heart that is in our Savior. And the plan of the Father for him, that he sits at this moment at the right hand of God, not knowing the time that he will say, son, go get your wife. It's ready. I go to prepare, he said, but my Father will tell me when it's ready. Did he not tell that sweet woman? As she asked, oh, I want one of my sons on this side and one of my sons on that side. He said, oh, no, it's for my Father to give. I'm waiting on my Father. My Father's seeking the true worshiper for me. It's exciting. That's how loving he is. That's how real this is. He's here, praise God. Now, she fell on her face. It's so wonderful. I love that. And that means that grace ravished her. I think about that precious Mary at Jesus' feet. Everybody, no one understood. Martha's insulting. The others in that other story, we see they came in, oh, Lord, if you knew who she was. And they didn't say, Lord. They said, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. Aren't you thankful you've fallen at his feet? Amen. Aren't you thankful that, praise God, you're ravished? Grace has ravished you. And then the response, praise God, of she bowed herself to the ground. That shows worship. That shows love. That shows humility. I thank God for that. Her response was so overwhelming. Why me? Why me? Now, we understand why. Because we have the whole counsel of God. We have Paul's gospel that's shown us the plan of God. Amen? Why me? Grace. Why me? Mercy. We have that answer. But I'll tell you what, I'm brokenhearted moment by moment every day in thankfulness. I get brokenhearted in a lot of things from time to time. But the one thing, by the grace of God, we should always be brokenhearted in is thankfulness. Complete, growing, exceeding, overflowing thankfulness. With what we have been given, that we know and that we see, we gather to hear the beauty of the Spirit and what he saith to the churches. God, let me be bubbling over in a broken heart of thankfulness. Amen. And I saw that, praise God, with my precious mom. She'd be crying all the time there at the couch. Mom, are you okay? Oh, honey, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Praise God. Brokenhearted with thankfulness. Speechless she was that this grace poured forth. What did she say? I'm a stranger. How could you have grace upon me? Really what she's saying here, I don't belong. Huh? Oh my, she's just getting him more and more. He almost has to say, stop, stop. Well, we get to the Song of Solomon, and he just, one chain of her neck. Oh, honey, I just got to get through the lattice and look at you. Praise God. Oh, it's wonderful. If you don't think that it really is like that, you've missed it. You've missed what this word's all about. And I pray for you because this is what it is. Praise God. Now, verse 11 goes on to say, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. Look at that. How did he know that so fast? The heart. Grace. Grace reveals everything. That's why we know one another by the grace of God, because it is his grace. That's the heart that's revealed one to another because we're of him. Amen? Yeah. He's just telling us what we have and we know and we experience. And then he shows you in the word of God and you just, it's breathtaking. It's like, oh my Lord. But he'll show you over and over, and that's how perfect this is. It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. This is important, thy mother-in-law. Since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. This has another type in it, just like Rebekah when she went to Isaac. Amen? Yes, she was of the family, don't get me wrong, but she left everything she knew. She only was ministered to. Just as in the same way with Naomi. Naomi administered to her. Over time, she knew. She knew it was there, and that was building in her heart. It was planted, it was watered, but God gave an increase to this precious sister. And it was encouraging how this struck her heart. The response of the bridegroom. Praise God, this is what this is. See, when we surrender, when we become ravished with his grace, just like Boaz here, this is what he saw all along. He knew this. This is surprising her, isn't it? What did he see in us in ages past? Us in Christ. It's always been there. This is always what he's seen as we enter in, praise God, to that precious plan that was all in his Son. And it's shown in such a sweet metaphor and a type for us through this shadow, in a way, in Ruth. Oh my, do you see how his ravished heart is so exposed when we go to him in love. See, it's there. That ravished heart of our Lord is always there. But when we seek grace, we see it. It's opened up to us. We have a full vision of this passionate love that he has for us. I thank God, too. There's a testimony here. She left everything. She forgot those things which are behind. There was a love that was wooing her heart. She didn't know exactly what it was, but she knew to go. It's just like the story of Abraham. He didn't know where he was going, but he followed God. And as he followed God, oh, it was shown to him, amen, that it was exceeding riches for Abraham in his life that were continued to be poured forth, all because he followed the voice of God. Amen. Here we have the same story again. And notice, it was all what was done unto her mother-in-law. We just said earlier, this precious Naomi gives us a type and an encouragement to our life of who the Holy Ghost is to us. Think about what the Lord is listening to as we fellowship on those camels on the journey with the Holy Ghost. He's listening. Hallelujah. There's such a beauty in that as well, too. All of the things that were done with the mother-in-law. All of the things, praise God, and the time that was spent with the Holy Ghost. Taking the things of Christ and making them ours. Do you not know how our Lord rejoices with the Father as he sees us taking the things of him? Amen. I must go to send the Comforter. To send this one. That would minister to us and to give us these things. Hallelujah. This is the worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And this is what completely was revealed to the bridegroom. He saw her heart. He saw that it was full of grace and truth, earnest and sincere, full of believing faith that she would attain. Now, let's go to verse 12. Notice what she receives here. Here's what Boaz says. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So once again, why? Because it was trusting in God. See, it never changes, does it? Where's our confidence? How many times have we heard that? And from decade to decade to decade, put your confidence in God. Trust in the Lord. There was the reward. There was the mark. And notice what the reward was. A full reward. Not a partial, not some, oh, we'll take care of you. Oh, no. This word full means perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the reward the wife will always receive if she'll go get it. Everything of mine is yours. Never changes. Just like with Esther, just like with Rebecca, just like with Rachel. Zipporah, all of them, praise God. They enter into that fullness, and it's a full reward. And notice how quickly this was all bestowed. Do you know this, brothers and sisters, how quickly this precious message can be given to you? Matter of fact, tonight, if you've never received it, do you know how quickly he can put that wedding ring on your finger? Matter of fact, tonight, if you'll just receive it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, you can't say that. You know, people need to be in the bridal message for a long time. Sure they do, if they have time. But you know what counts? Are you in it now? Are you in it now? Are you in love now? Well, you can be in love for the first time in your life tonight, right now, listening to this. He can put that wedding ring on right now. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. It wasn't this process of receiving and all. No, by the grace of God, when you get hit with that bridal message, I'll go. Don't let it take time. Well, wait, Rebecca, you don't really know. Oh, yes, I do. I heard it. I want to be like Herbie. You mean God said that? Well, I want it. How remarkable, amen? Didn't go out there and contemplate it. I didn't go out there and say, well, I'll tell you what, there's lots of folks do that in different ways with the truth. Oh, at a more convenient time. There ain't no more convenient time. It's now. The Lord's always about now time. Think about the word of God. It's always now, 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 now. He's persistent. He's on it. He's in your face. Praise God. It's not tomorrow. It's today. It's today. Praise his name. So, she gets a full reward, and it comes quick. And it must have been almost unbelievable to her. Think of this, what's coming forth. And soon, once again, we will see, just like Esther, she's going to let his love for her give her a boldness beyond everybody else. She wasn't from there. She didn't deserve it. She didn't do it. But because of the love for her, and see, that's the pattern. She's going to have a boldness beyond everybody else. That had even been there for years. That's what this gospel does. And she's going to have a boldness. And people ain't going to understand it. They're not even going to think it's right. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost tells her, you get in there and do it. And she doesn't ask why. She doesn't, well, I need to think. No, tonight. Praise the Lord. Tonight. Today. It's always now. So, Ruth here, if you really think about it, she doesn't even realize what incredible exceeding wealth is in store for her. She doesn't. But she will soon. And see, that's how it is when you go on with God. And I thank the Lord. He's shown us that. And it never ceases, does it? Because you never know it all. You know the truth. But then he shows you more depth right in a little passage. And that's why I say I really did. When we kind of got into these Gentile brides, we'd been taking these a couple weeks at a time and whatever. But man, Ruth hit. Whoa. I mean, well, Lord, how could we get through more than one verse, you know? But it is the depth. It's like a whole mini Bible of your life. And it's gorgeous beyond. And once again, we're just looking upon it at this time. Now, verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord." It's all him, isn't it? Let me find. Praise the Lord. She knew it was all grace. So let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. She still doesn't get it. Oh, honey, this is why I'm so smitten with you, because you ain't like them. They think they're religious or something. You know what I'm saying? Or they think they've got it. And here you are. All you want is grace. And you know, doesn't he still astound you? Even as you know this, if grace ever stops astounding you, something's wrong. Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. Praise God. So, what we saw there is he turns it up even more. She knows she's an heir, but look where she's headed. Favor with you, my Lord. She's asking for more. Think of what favor she's already received. I want more. That's amazing. How dare you ask for more? See, those were around. That's why I'm certain in a lot of ways too. Is he says those young men don't touch you. Yeah. A lot of folks, as you go on with God, they even get jealous. They want to injure you. Oh, you got to be like this to go on with God. No, you need to be in this to go on with God. All of what will change from glory to glory, you just let him do. And it'll be like him. And it will. And it'll be according to Scripture as you yield to God. And it will. All that evidence will come forth. But notice it will come from the source of yielding to God. Praise the Lord. But she says, favor with you, my God. She acknowledges him here as Lord. I love that. Reminds me of the queen speaking to the king. Even though, you know, she's his husband, she'll still refer to him, my Lord. My Lord. I love it. And notice this. It's all in what you see in me. Isn't that beautiful as she says that? Let me find favor in thy sight. I don't want to find favor in my sight. A lot of people live their life, they want to find favor in their sight. How they look to themselves or someone else. We want to be pleasing to him. And this is so sweet. This precious vessel got it right away. I want to find favor in your sight, in your vision. And what is that? Grace. That's how we find favor. It's grace. Your eyes. We must see how he sees us. Amen? By the grace of God, see your life as he sees you. The enemy wants to put us in such a guilt trap, in a discouraged trap, in a disappointed all of these different things, depression. The enemy wants to do that to us. We are the sons of God right now. We're the elect of God right now. We're accepted in the beloved right now. Praise God. Get it. And thank him. And be brokenhearted about your life in thankfulness. In thankfulness. It's wonderful to be brokenhearted. And yes, to always have a repentant heart. But get over repentant and get into thankfulness. Amen. I know a lot of brothers, I'm telling you, oh, they're just going to stick and stay in repentance. And then they begin to look at the myrrh, and then they worship the myrrh. No, get to the door, open it up in thankfulness. Sure, I didn't deserve him to be at my door, but he's there. Are you getting this? I believe it. I see fiery ones out here tonight. Praise the Lord. But see, that's what his grace and love does. He sets you on fire. Now, it only gets better. See, she says to him, "For thou hast comforted me." Who brings the comfort? The Holy Ghost does. And what is that comfort that he brings? The joy and peace in believing. See, there's joy and peace in believing the word of God. When we're wrestling, when we're not content, when we're just upset, frustrated, torn, I tell you what, we need to believe God. It'll take that away. Might not take away the situation, but it'll sure take me to a whole different realm just like that. There's joy and peace in believing. The Comforter, he's the one, hallelujah, that reveals the power and the riches of his grace and mercy. See, the power and the riches of his grace and mercy bring you comfort beyond anything you'll ever have in your life. Let grace and mercy comfort you. Amen. Comfort you in the mistake. Comfort you that, Lord, you're going to change this. Comfort you, Lord, that I'm free. Comfort you, Lord, I know, praise God, that if you be for me, who could be against me? Comforting me, Lord, that you'll perform the good work which you've begun. Joy and peace in believing the word of God. That's a life that dwells in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. All right. She found grace. And then it says here, she finds favor. This is beautiful. That favor means elegance and grace. It's like she found a double portion of beauty for him. See, you find grace, but then you know you're favored and highly favored. And that word means elegance and grace. It's like it's divine. It's like I thank God for the grace of God, but then the favor, it's like it shot this love and injected it into my life, that my life is elegant because of this grace. I mean, I'm just bestowed in this grace. And he can't stand it. He's ravished by the grace. Thank you, Lord. Now, beauty for him. And that word comforted, it's so beautiful. In this context, in this precious Hebrew word, it means repent and be comforted of grief. I love that. To repent and be comforted of grief. It's almost as if she was sorry for her life. She felt bad about, in a way, who she was. She was this stranger, but she moved his heart in comfort from guilt to understand the glory of his grace. That's incredible. That's what that comfort did for her. And again, this thankfulness that just begins to continue to pour like a raging river out of this precious Ruth. How his grace comforts me from my wrongdoing. How his grace comforts me from my complacency. I finally just realize he's in love and that's all that matters. And when that happens, that's what changes me. His love, brothers and sisters, will cause you to desire to walk in the Spirit. His love will draw you to walk in the Spirit, and when we walk in the Spirit, we deny the lusts of the flesh. But it's love. Yes, it is. Oh, how exciting is our God. Amen. Now, here as well, she realizes she's not like the others. But she's so underestimating this because God's graced her with this contrite spirit, this humility. And this pure heart that seeks grace and mercy. And oh, what she's going to receive. Be thankful you're not like the other ones. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. And stay right there. Brokenhearted in thankfulness. Amen. All right. I'd like to keep going, but let's do 14 and we'll stop there. All right. Let's see Boaz's response now, because I can't even believe he might not even be able to talk here in a moment. He's just so in love. And so Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither. I just see the Lord like that. It's just like that, you know, Twitter pated, you know. Now you got to play it cool. Oh no, I just want to tell her I love her. And Boaz says unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Not only does he tell her to come in and eat with me, and not only does she, but then he's got to feed her. He just loves her so much. Oh, I love this. Now, you come to my table, you eat with me, you eat my bread, and you dip in the vinegar. Now, vinegar speaks of a lot of sweet things in the Word of God. Vinegar was used to quench thirst. It was. Purifying. This speaks of how the Lord was doing this, or Boaz was doing this with her. Think of how the Lord does that with us. He does it through fellowship, doesn't he? Amen. This is how this comes. See, draw nigh unto him. Hear the word of God. You need to be, that thirst to be quenched. You need a purifying in a sense in your life. Let him fellowship with you. Get at his table. Let him feed you. He even speaks of the wine, the joy, the furtherance of the love. And notice here, she's with the reapers. But even though she's with the reapers, it's he who reaches for the parched corn and extends it to this most precious vessel to him of grace and mercy. Parched corn. It's a very unique way to prepare corn. And I was reading about this. They'd done it for years and years. But in the 1800s, they found out it was like a superfood for sustaining life. A superfood. Very interesting here. But if you really think about it, divine grace is the superfood that sustains the full overcomer. Amen. But that's that. It was prepared. It was parched. It was seasoned. And there was something about that corn and the way that it would be prepared that people could go out and they could really live with that. And they found that even in the 1800s. It was known as a superfood at that time because it was very scarce to receive food at that time. And people were surviving on it. How much more so when the Lord feeds us that divine grace, brothers and sisters, that sustains the full overcomer. That's the only sustenance there is. But I'll tell you what, we're going to end there. But do you see the intimacy of this? Thank the Lord. We see this and praise God. The awestruck heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, remember this, brothers and sisters. They wrote those things for us. Amen. This was written for you. This was written. And remember when they said it, that they wrote those things for us. They wanted to look into this. The ones that wrote this, the prophets. They wanted to understand the depth of the meaning of this. There was an unction in their lives because of the Spirit that there was something more here. There was something deeper. There were layers within this. Because they knew God like that. They knew him. But yet, it wasn't for them. And this depth, these little things, these lines, they were written for you. That's God's word. That's God's promise. That's God's intent. They wrote those things for us, the hidden layers within the lines. And brothers and sisters, this is one thing I'll say is closing this up. That's the difference. And that's the difference between learned and knowledge. Or if you will say, the learned and the knowledgeable. I've met many a learned saints in my lifetime. and I have, that have learned Scripture, but very few are knowledgeable. There's a difference. And the difference is to know the intimate love of Christ, to hear the voice of the Beloved anew, and in new ways, and in new Scriptures. You see? They're not just read the same way all the time in a sense of hearing what's in there, the layers, the revelation that goes on and on and on. Know this, that voice of the Beloved. And praise be to God. Lord, in Jesus' name, help us to enter into that now. But really take that to heart. Tonight, he can put the ring on your finger. Tonight. Doesn't have to wait. He's always like that. If there's one thing about our Lord, yes, he's patient. But I'll tell you what, he's an anxious lover to put that ring on your finger if you'll take it. Tonight, praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.